Jeremiah 42. As I was trying to prepare for the service this morning, all this thought's been on my mind about over 10 years ago. I preached a message along this line, kind of the same thought, and it come from me reading the scripture. I was reading here in Jeremiah, and this scripture really jumped out at me. And I've been preaching a lot longer now than I was in 1983 when I used this scripture the other time. And I hadn't changed my mind about it. And what I want to talk to you about this morning, and preach to you about for a few minutes, is this. Now everybody listen. Now we want everybody to settle down. And please, I must ask you again. We need nobody getting up. Everybody listen real careful. Make yourself listen. This is very important. Listen just for a few minutes. Do not listen to any voices that suddenly pop in your head and say, you need to get up and go out and get a drink of water. Don't listen to voices like that. That's the wrong voice. I believe the Lord would say, you can wait a few minutes. You'll appreciate that water better if you'll just wait a few minutes. And the people sitting around you will really appreciate it a lot better. I'm preaching to you on this subject. How a man thinks before he backslides. How a man thinks, a woman, a boy, a girl, a teenager, before they backslide. And I can tell you if you're getting ready to backslide. I've saw in traveling a lot, and since I do get to travel a lot, that's an education. It really is, for which I'm thankful. One of the best educations a person can have is to travel. You begin to notice a lot of things, and now I've been going to some churches 15 years, and I'll see somebody sitting there, and they'll be on fire for the Lord, and next time I'm there, they're gone. I'll say, what's happened to so-and-so? Well, this happened, and that happened, and this happened. I've seen young people by the hundreds start out on fire for God, and many of them are not even living right, not even going to church, gone right back to their old sins. And I'm going to tell you what precedes that. Nobody is on fire for God 1 minute and back in sin the next minute. It don't happen that way. It happens gradually. It happens gradually, just little by little. You don't even realize how slow that you're getting into a backslidden condition. So I'm going to try to help you this morning to ward it off, to keep it from happening to you. Sin is deceitful, and it promises you something, but it never gives it. I've noticed a pattern. Before a person backslides, there's a pattern. And here it is. Jeremiah 42 in verse number 10. Jeremiah 42 in verse 10. He was trying to tell his people to just calm down and trust in him. But they were going to Egypt, a picture of the world, and the king of Babylon, a picture of the devil, in order to try to get their help. Verse 10, if you will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down. See, if you'll stay right with God, He's going to bless you. It's like I was talking about Brother Lee. That's what some of you young people, you get in too big of a hurry. Things don't work out the way you think they ought to work out. Boy, you just ready to get like that. The Lord said, if you'll abide and just stay here and stay right, I'll bless you. I will plant you. And not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Verse 11, be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord. What does that mean? You say, wow, there was 200,000 people at Woodstock 94. Man, don't be afraid of junk like that. The only thing you'd have to be afraid of Woodstock 94 would be if you was there. Then you could be afraid. You sure wouldn't want to rub up against nobody. Then you could be afraid. But we don't have nothing to fear about that. No big deal. They overestimate their crowds by about 3 times anyway when something like that happens. Tim, try to make an impression on you. Look here what he says. I'm with you. Notice throughout all the Old Testament, the Lord says, I am with you. 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 Hey, in the New Testament, guess what he says? He changes one word in that. I am in you. I am in you. I am in you. You think about that. You can't get no closer than that. In the Old Testament, he's with them. In the New Testament, he's in them. Now, brother, the Lord's in us this morning. He's inside me. He's inside you. How could I take the Lord and take him back into my old sins, my old life? How could I do that? How could I take his blessed spirit that lives inside me this morning and subject it to the wickedness of this world and take it back in sin? Look at verse 12. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. Verse 13. Verse 13. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. The outline for this message is in verse 14. That's where I got my outline. Best outline book in the world is the King James Bible. There's the outline of the message. You know what they said? They said, if we leave God and go down to Egypt, we're going to see this. Number one, we'll see no war. Number two, we don't have to hear the sound of that trumpet. Number three, we won't have hunger of bread. Number four, there will we dwell. There is a perfect picture of how a person thinks before they backslide. They say, we'll see no war. They'll say, we hear no sound of the trumpet. They'll say, we don't have to worry about hunger of bread. And they say, there we'll dwell and everything will be all right. When the devil gets you thinking like that, you're on your way to backsliding on God. I'm talking to some young people this morning, and I'm talking to some adults this morning, that this is the pattern of thinking that's in your mind. Number one, they said, we shall see no war. They said, here in the land of the Lord, and Lord, in your land, all we do is have one battle after another battle. It's just fighting. It's the Amorites. It's the Hittites. It's the Girgashites. It's the Jebusites. It's the Skeeterbites. Every time I turn around, some big army's coming up after us, and we're having to just fight. I am tired of fighting. If we went right back down to Egypt where we used to live and served the king of Babylon, we could just quit all this fighting. Now that's the first thing a person thinks when they backslide. Did you know this morning, you listen to me? Everybody listen? You know this morning it's a fight to stay right with God? You have to fight, man. You have to fight. I fight it every day of my life. I fight this old flesh. I fight the world. The world's pulling at you. You just have to go, bam, get away from me. And the world's pulling at you. And you just have to say, leave me alone. And the world's pulling at you. You know, every time you turn on a television set, it's a fight. Something in you says, no, this ain't right. You shouldn't be looking at it. You got to fight. See, should I turn it off? Should I not turn it off? Every time you go down the street, well, should I go here? Should I go there? Was this wrong? Your clothes. You have a battle over your clothes. Well, is this right? Is this proper? Is this right? And all that. Sometimes you get tired of fighting. You think, if I could just go out and live in sin, I wouldn't have to worry about all this fighting all the time. And it is a fight to stay right. You go to school. Some of you kids are dreading going to school this Wednesday because you know it's going to be a fight. Your friends are going to pull you this way. The Lord's going to pull you this way. Your friends are going to pull you this way. The Lord's going to pull you this way. And it is a fight. It is a fight. And you start thinking, I am just tired of the battle. You say, well, we're trying to live right, preacher, and we just have one battle right after another. They were always fighting. The world pressures you to compromise. It persecutes you and mocks you. And the devil tells you, if you just give up and go back to your old life, then you won't see no war. You won't have all this fighting to worry about. That's the way the devil makes you think before you go back into Egypt. He makes you think if you go back, you can quit all of this fighting. He causes you to forget forget. The devil caused them to forget those lonely days in Egypt when they were under Pharaoh's bondage. And the devil caused them to forget all those nights that they pled for God to deliver them. How miserable they were in sin in Egypt's bondage, living in, as a slave to the king of Egypt. The devil caused them to forget that. He just focuses on the battle you're fighting and says, boy, you'd be better off to go back out in the world. I want to tell you what the devil will tell you this morning. He'll say, ain't you tired of having to get up, go to church, read your Bible every day, try to keep a clean thought life, try to do this? Ain't you just about sick and tired of this? Why don't you just throw that Bible down? Why don't you just go right back out and sin? Why don't you just forget the whole thing? But listen, the devil never will remind you of those nights before you came to the house of God, before when you were out there and you had nothing. The devil never will remind you of those days that you had no hope and you were miserable and you were afraid the law was going to get you and you was afraid your wife was going to find out what you was doing, or you was going to afraid your mom and daddy is going to find out. The devil will never remind you of those lonely nights when you thought you was going to die and go to hell. He'll make you think that everything's rosy back out there in sin, but it's not. It's not. Listen, if you go back on the Lord, you'll have more problems out there in that world than you will in here trying to live right. The devil will try to make you think, ain't you about tired of this war? Ain't you tired of this fight, Christian soldier business, having to fight the devil and the world and the flesh all the time? Listen, you don't know what hard time is till you turn your back on God. I'll show you that in a minute. He said, you'll see no war. You know what I believe the devil does? I just noticed this down through the years. I believe he takes a Christian that's been living right for a while, and they kind of get in a routine. You kind of start taking the Lord's blessings for granted. You kind of start not really appreciate. You kind of forget, really, what God done for you. You know what I believe he does? I believe he takes the peace that you've got now in your heart, and you've got used to it, and he makes you think that if you went back out and sin, you could carry that peace with you. Because you have a natural abiding peace in you when the Lord comes in your heart. And I believe he tries to make you think that if you went back out and sinned, you could still have that peace. But it's a trick. The most miserable people on the face of this planet are people who are really, really saved. Honest to goodness saved. Now, I know a lot of these people claim they're saved, probably didn't get saved. But I mean somebody's really saved out there in the world living in sin. That's the most miserable man on earth. He's got something tearing him one way and something tearing him the other way. He's got the Lord in here saying, this ain't right, this ain't right, this ain't right, this ain't right, this ain't right. And he's got the devil over here saying, forget it, go on, live it up, man. Have a big time party. Do what you want to do. It don't really matter. God don't care. And on the other hand, the preacher's words are coming down. He don't fit in the church. He don't fit in the world. That's what's wrong with some of you this morning. You're backslid and you don't feel like a fit in here at church. Because you feel like everybody is thinking about you or looking at you. You go out there in the world and they think you're a Christian. You come in here and they think you're a sinner. You're in a mess, man. You're in a mess. You're the most miserable person in the world if you're a Christian and not living for God. Listen, you know why David backslid? He didn't fight. David figured, I'd fought my share of the battles. I'm going to stay home this morning. And that's what led into his sin. You got to fight. Brother, you got to fight. Me, I've always hated fighting. I've been in a fight or two. It took me to about the fifth grade to realize that wasn't my thing. These boys used to get in fights after school, you know. And I remember the only thing that saved me one time was Daddy bought me a belt with a big buckle on it. It had it right here. And this boy tried to hit me in the stomach and he bloodied his whole knuckle on my belt buckle. And I thought that was neat, man. I thought, buddy, I showed him right there. But really, I mean, most of the boys in my class was bigger than I was, and I didn't care about getting in fights. And I still don't. But I tell you something, I've got some fight in me. And if I had to, if you pinned me down like this morning and you didn't leave me no choice, I would kick, I would bite, I would stick my finger in your eyes. I would. Listen, I would, you know what? I wouldn't even have to think about it. There's just something in me. I'm going to fight. If I have to fight, I'm going to fight. Brother, I tell you what, in a Christian life, the devil's got us down. He pushes us. He pushes us. He pushes us. He backs you in a corner. And he just says, you don't live right. You don't want to live right. You don't want to live right. You don't want to live right. Sometimes you got to say, yes, I do. Amen. You got to get your Bible down and say, I'm going to read it. Amen. I'm going to pray. It's a fight. It don't always come easy. It don't always come natural. The Bible says fight. The good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. It's a fight to stay right. But the devil will try to make you think that if you go back and sin, you won't see no more. The second part of that outline. He said, we won't hear the sound of the trumpet. Now what does that mean? In those days, when it come time to fight the battle, the fellow would stand up. That's where they knew how to rally to get ready to fight. Da-da-da-da-da-da! Some guy'd stand up there and blow the trumpet like it, you know. Or he'd stand up there and he'd go, I don't know. Like that, you know. Maybe something. I don't know what he done. He might have played the Foggy Mountain Breakdown. I don't know. But they had a cue, see. When that trumpet went up there and blowed that thing, brother, them troops said, all right, get up. Let's go fight, brother. And they said, listen, if we go back on over to Egypt, we wouldn't have to hear that trumpet blow no more. What's that a picture of? You know what a man thinks? A man thinks, I'm tired of hearing that trumpet blow rallying me to try to get me up for the battle. I'm sick of it. What's that a picture of? Preaching. What's the Bible say in Isaiah 58 verse 1? Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a what? Trumpet. Did you know a preacher preaching in the Bible is pictured by a trumpet? Do you know what I do every old Sunday morning? You think, well, boy, Brother Danny, I really enjoyed what he said Sunday morning. You know what I'm really doing? I'm up here going, dun 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 dun. I'm trying to rally you up to get you to fight, to charge. That's what I'm doing. You say, I'm getting tired of it. I am getting tired of somebody blowing a trumpet at me every Sunday morning. I'm just sick of it. I want to sleep. I'm tired of preaching. I'm tired of being screamed at. Every time I come to church, you just seem like you just hammer on me, Brother Danny. Every time I walk in there, it's just bam, 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 bam. I'm sick of it. I've let you beat me over the head and beat me over the head and beat me over the head. All I hear about is what I've been doing or hadn't been doing, or everything I do is wrong. Everything I say is wrong. Everything I do, you preach about. I've had people tell me lots of times. I've had people tell me, how did you know that I'd been doing that? I said, doing what? They said, doing it. I said, well, I wouldn't have known if you hadn't told me. You ought to keep your mouth shut. I've had people say, you must have been over at my house peeping in my window. We've had people get mad and quit our church because they thought that I said something just because they was here and I didn't even know they was here. Well, I know he just said that because I know that's the trumpet, brother, and the Holy Spirit ringing your bell. It ain't me. Listen, I stay gone too much to know what you're doing. I don't have to know. I don't even want to know. I'd probably grab my youngins and put them up here in this seat right here if I knew. Amen? I don't want to know. I don't care. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. I've got a book here this morning that can read your mind. And it discerner the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it knows, the Lord knows everything you've done this week. So if you're sitting there this morning and say, somebody told him about me. I know he's talking about me. I know that's the Lord blowing a trumpet to wake you up. And you just don't realize. Listen, when I get up here and preach on Sunday, I just let her rip. I just, like a shotgun, see. I just go, boom, you know. And if you're in one of them holes I shoot in, just get out. Just get out. Don't blame me. Don't say, well, I believe that Danny just said that on account of so-and-so. You better watch out. You're getting tired of hearing the trumpet. You're sick of it. You say, but I'm different, Brother Danny. I'm different. It just wasn't meant for me to live right. It's harder for me than it is everybody else. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And listen, if you're not careful, you'll realize, yeah, I'm sick of preaching. I'm sick of preaching. That's why you know you're getting ready to back backslide when you start not wanting to hear preaching of the Word of God. When you're driving down the road, stick your preaching tape in. When you're working around the house, stick your preaching tape in. I listen to preaching tapes. I listen to preaching on the radio, and it helps me. It helps me. Just about every preacher I ever hear him preach helps me. I enjoy it. It's food for me. You know what preaching will do? Preaching will help you find the answer to your questions. Preaching will help you with your problems to focus on what's wrong in your life. Preaching will make your faith be increased. Preaching will help your family be strengthened. You ought to want to come to church every Sunday and be disappointed if the preacher don't skin your hide and tell you what you're doing wrong. Somebody's trying to get somebody to come to our church the other day, and they said, well, this lady said, well, somebody told me that he pointed his finger. And I just don't know if I can stand that.
Would you give a dime for a preacher who wouldn't point his finger and pick it up? What's he doing? He's taking money under false pretense. Amen. He's a crook, bro. I mean, listen, you know what the Lord told Ezekiel and Jeremiah on this? He said, you clap your hands, you stomp your feet, and say, alas! For all the abominations of the people of Israel. If I went to a church where the preacher didn't clap his hand, stomp his feet, point his finger, I'd quit. Read your Bible, then. Read your Bible. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression. And if a preacher refuses to tell you about your sin, you know what he's doing? He's just after that pocketbook. He's a crook. He's a crook. He's job worried. That's what his problem is. Man, I'm not worried about a job. God will take care of me. He always had to take care of me. I'm going to say what that Lord lays on my heart and tell you what that book said, brother, if I have to go get me a job at a gas station. Amen? I mean, because it's right. And it'll stand when this world's on fire. And if you don't like it, it's right anyhow. And if you don't agree with it, it's right anyhow. And if you get mad, it's right anyhow. And if you never come back, it's still right. And you'll give an account to God at the judgment one day. You know what else they said? They said, we won't have the hunger of bread. I'm tired of the Bible. I've already heard all of this in the Bible. I know all the stories. Can't do this, can't do that. I wish I had somewhere to go. I wish there was something to do. Marion's a boring town. That's the way you know you're getting ready to backslide. Somebody told me the other day, they said, so-and-so wants to live in a big city. Well, why would anybody want to live in a big city? The bigger city, the more sin you got. Why you want to live around more sin, man? You can tell when a person's getting ready to backslide because they say, I wish there was something to do around here. Listen, we got something going 7 days a week. But your problem is you ain't hungry for the right bread. You know what they said in Israel in the Old Testament? They say, neither is there any bread, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They didn't want what God gave them. They wanted something else. They didn't want a Christian movie from the bookstore. They wanted an R-rated movie from the store down the street. They got sick and tired of what God served on His table. They got tired of hearing about creation and the Ten Commandments and the New Jerusalem and the place. They said, we want to do something else. I'm going to tell you, you're getting in trouble. You're getting in trouble. You're getting in trouble. That's why I told some of these young people, listen, this don't get mad at me. I'm preaching. I'm telling you what's right. Don't you get mad at me this morning. That's why I told some of these young people. They said, what do you think about us going to movies? I said, I don't think you ought to go to the movies. They said, well, if it's a good movie. I said, the bad thing about going to a good movie is it gets you in a habit, and the next thing you know, you're going to go see one a little worse, and then a little worse, and then a little worse, and the best thing to do is just not go at all. You say, I can't live like that. I know why. Because you're hungry for the world bread. You're headed that way. Headed that direction. You say, this kind of preaching's too strong for me. No, it's not. It's good for you. You just need to swallow it. Swallow it. So it's like, did you know what will happen? You know, they asked me, what's wrong with Kenny G or Kenny R? Or Kenny? I said, the problem with that is, even though they may have a clean song, it opens a door to worse songs. Yes, now listen, you don't want to hang around the edge. You don't want to get this close to the world and say, okay, I'm still right with God, and this ain't wrong. That's the bad place to hang. You want to get way over you, see, so you won't fall off. The bad thing about some of the so-called middle-of-the-road music is that it makes you like it, and you say, well, this ain't really that much worse than this, and this ain't really that much worse than this, and this ain't really that much worse than this. First thing you know, you're backslid. Best thing to do is feed your soul on the good things of the Word of God. I can tell you which young people in this group right here backslide. I could put my hand on you this morning and be right about 90% of the time. I can tell. You know what you do? You leave that little door open. That little door. And you say, I can handle this. I know it's not right, but at least I ain't out doing all them other things I used to do. And you're here, see? It won't be long till you're here. And it won't be long till you're here. You don't underestimate sin, brother. It wraps around your feet. It starts pulling you down. That's why I get rid of everything. Listen, if you're around the kind of friends that want to drag you back out in your old sin, your best thing to do is just leave them alone. If I was you, I'd hang around the people that's right with God. Don't hang around the people that's borderline, because they'll suck you down with them. You know something? Listen, how could you do it? How could you do it? You know what? If these people had went out in the, back out into Egypt, if they had went back out into Egypt, you know what they were saying? You know what they was literally saying? They were saying, oh, that wasn't such a big deal after all. We made a big to-do about God delivering us, and he ain't really so hot. We decided we'd come back on our own and join you. What a slap in the face to God after he's been good to you. Listen, Jesus died for you. Jesus shed his blood to get you out of your sin. Jesus Christ shed his blood to get you out of your sin. And if you get out of your sins and get right with God and sing in the choir and tell, give your testimony and serve God and witness, and then 6 months later or a year later go back into sin and pick up that beer can or pick up that joint of marijuana, you know what you're saying to this world? You're saying, oh, it wasn't no big deal. It's not really real. It's nothing to it. You are bringing a slap and a reproach and a mockery to the Son of God and his blood. Did you know what cigarettes do? Cigarettes open the door for pot and beer and everything else. It's just a step, see? It's just a step. A step. A step. No, Brother Danny, I can handle it. I'm telling you, I've been doing this 20-something years. I've seen it over and over and over. You can't do it. You can't flirt with sin and it not have an effect on you and drag you down. You say, boy, you act like you're mad. I am. Preacher can't preach unless he's mad at the world, mad at sin, and mad at the devil. That's right. I am mad at this world. You'll keep that door open. You'll sit around and think, boy, I bet you they're going to have a good time at Moose Lodge this weekend. Me and my old buddies. Too bad you can't remember your old buddies. The devil lets you see one that you ain't seen in a long time, and he'll be friendly. Hey, how you doing? Man, come on over this weekend. Ain't seen. And the devil will say, don't you miss him. You forget about that night he hit your car and didn't tell you about it. You forget about that night he puked in your back seat and never offered to clean it up and tried to steal your woman. And did steal your woman. Forget about all that, don't you? Good old so-and-so. They forgot about all that trouble they had down there in Egypt. They forgot it. They forgot it. They said, there will we dwell. Everything will be fine. Listen, young people. The devil will convince you. Be right with God. And I tell you, listen, I tell you how you can know if you're backsliding or not, if you dread seeing me. That's right. That's one way you know, really. I'm the Lord's representative. And all people say, oh no, there's Brother Daniel. What's wrong, man? What's wrong? I'm just an old dog sinner saved by grace like you are. You say, well, I wouldn't want you to see me doing it. Well, what do you think about the Lord? What do you think about the Lord? I know people, buddy, when they used to see me, they'd run across the street. Hey, preacher! And then now at They'll go in a store that they wasn't even planning on going in. I've had them tell me sometimes. They'd maybe drive around a block away, just keep passing by here. You know, something just reaches out at them or something. But you know something? They say, "We will dwell, everything will be all right." He does this. He convinces you of this by letting you see sinful people look like they're having fun. Now, TV's the biggest promoter of this thing. They put all kinds of people on there in sin and make them look like, oh, wow. Have you ever noticed that they don't never have to put gas in their car? And in the middle, they can hop up, go on a 100-mile trip, go to California, everything. And they, the only time it'll show them having gas is when they meet somebody they fall in love with or something. And, you know, pick them up or take them with them or something. Listen, dummy, real life don't work like that. In real life, you don't pick up a beautiful girl at a gas station and take her with you. You get robbed. And somebody's got to work to pay for all that gas. See, the TV presents the idea of, you know, you get to drive a new car, drink wine, and nothing bad ever happens, and you don't ever get AIDS or, you know, like, that's not the real world. Here's the way it works in real life. If you're really saved, your sins find you out. You say, well, I'll sneak around and nobody won't know it. That's what you think. God has a way of letting it come out on a Christian. If you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, it will come out. When Carrie was little, she'd do something she wasn't supposed to. I always found out and didn't even try. And I know sometimes she thought, now, how in the world did he always, the Lord just lets us parents find out what we need to find out. We know. Sometimes we don't even let you know we know. And you think, boy, old dumb mom, dad, nah, they know what you're doing. They just don't know how to deal with it most of the time. They said, we're going to have a good time. You see a commercial and guys driving down the road in a big hot rod, laughing and living it up. A family. Preacher's run around miserable, because he was involved with another woman who wasn't his wife. He thought, boy, this is going to be fun. And then sooner you have, man, you're miserable then. The devil make you think, boy, if you just had so-and-so, man, don't he look good, don't she look good. If you just had them, all that. You know what would happen if you had them? You'd be the most miserable human being in the world. Because your conscience would drive you batty, man, drive you crazy. He said this. That preacher went around saying, I know God's going to kill me. I know God's going to kill me. I know God's going to kill me. I just expect it any time. He's just going to kill me, take me out of this world. And a preacher friend of mine got a hold of him and he said, nah. He said, God ain't going to kill you. That'd be the easy way out, just take you on to heaven. He said, the
Lord will let you, something happen to you, and you're going to lay flat on your back for about 20 years in a hospital somewhere, a rehab, give you a chance to think this thing over. That's what happens. That's what happens to a Christian. You say, well, so-and-so's doing it, and they're living up here now. Yeah, but you go out and try it when you're saved, the Lord will just lay you up for a while. Break that neck, that back, give you a chance to think that thing over. You better stay right. Prophet warned them. In closing, he warned them. He said this. In verse 16, he said, the sword will overtake you. He said, you think you're going back down there and you won't see no war. But you ain't seen no battles till you go back down there in Egypt. He said, the sword will overtake you. He said, number two, the famine shall come. He said, you think you're going to go down there and get away from all this preaching and it ain't going to bother you. But he said, you're going to get down there and you'll love to hear the man of God preach. You'd love to have a Bible and open it and read and get a blessing out of it. You'll starve to death. Ain't some of you hungry for it this morning? And then he said down there in verse 16, he said, you shall die. You shall die. You won't. They said, there will we dwell? The prophet looked at him, he said, the truth is, you're not going to dwell anywhere. God's going to kill you. That's what he told them. You're going to die down there. You think you're going to leave the presence of God and go down there in Egypt and live it up and have a big time? No, you're not. He said, God will kill you. I believe there's a lot of Christians shorten their days on this earth because they refuse to do what God wants them to do. You know how a man thinks before he backslides? Here's how he thinks. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of everything I do being wrong. I'd kind of like to go out in the world and have a little fun. Get a little high. Listen to a little rock and roll. Go out somewhere to, go out, you know, where they're a little boozing it up a little bit. Just a little taste of it. I'm not going all the way back. That's the way a man thinks before he backslides. If you're right with God, you want to get just as far away from that sin you can possibly get. Christian ought to be the point where they say, I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want to be around nowhere where it's at. And I don't want to hang around nobody that does it. No, sir. Stay. Truth is, this morning, I don't care how good a time they act like they're having out there in the world, what we got is still 10 million times better right here this morning. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Please, no one looking around. Everyone praying. I don't know who the message is for this morning. Some's already coming to the altar. I don't know who God's dealing with. But I know one thing. I believe the Lord laid this message on my heart today. Maybe for a young person, maybe for a mom or dad. I don't know. I didn't know who's going to be here. Please, this morning, friend, please. Stay where God wants you to stay. Your life could be so much more effective for eternity if you'd stay where God wants you to stay. Is the world starting to look good to you? If the world starts looking good to you, the best thing to do is just pray till the Lord takes it out. See, it will. The devil makes it look mighty attractive. That's right, young people. Just come on. Come on. Hey, I don't care if you have to come to the altar every Sunday. Why are you britches legs out? Amen? Stay on this altar if that's what it takes. The world, the devil, he'll paint a pretty picture. And say, boy, look at all the fun you could have doing this, doing that. But he's a liar. He's a liar. It'll backfire in your face. Dear God in heaven, do something for us this morning that only you can do. Touch that person this morning. Maybe there's one here that's never been saved. I pray you touch their heart and let them come and be saved this morning. Maybe there are those here this morning who's on the verge of going the other way, backsliding, I pray that they get their life right with you this morning. Maybe there are those here that's already backslid. I pray that they'd come and get right with you this morning. Do something special and real in every heart. We'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's